Now it's time for the Common Sense Broadcast with Roland Trujillo. Common sense is about how you can solve your problems in a moment of calm reflection. Common sense is straight talk about life's most important issues. And now your Common Sense host, Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to a program called Common Sense. And I'm your host for this very humble but important program. You see, there's a lot of information in the world, but a lot of it's not going to do you a lot of good. Have you ever noticed how it doesn't seem to matter how great an athlete you are, or how successful you are in business, or how wonderful you are, or how beautiful you are, or how handsome, or it doesn't seem to matter when it comes to the very important things in life, such as how you get along with your spouse or with your children. And there are plenty of people who are very rich and very unhappy. Then there are plenty of poor people who are also unhappy. And pretty people that are unhappy, and ugly people, and handsome people, and ugly people that are unhappy, and successful people that are unhappy, and unsuccessful people. And then, so, are you with me? So you see, life is a very, life is more than just eating and drinking and laughing it up and making money. Much more than that. And when all is said and done, the important things in life are the most important. What are the important things in life? Well, we all have a sense of what they are, don't we? And yet, just knowing that fact doesn't necessarily mean that we will be a happy life, or that a good relations with our children. And then, just because we have seemingly good relations with our children or with our spouse, that doesn't necessarily mean either that the state of our soul is very good. So let's talk about the very important things of life, shall we? All right. Now, number one, let's begin with the very basic things. The very basic, most basic thing of all, of course, is that we human beings are a soul in a body. We are a soul in a body. And our soul was made by our Creator, and we are in His image and likeness. Okay? And so, therefore, and of course, it would appear that our soul, it has some sort of a destiny. Souls seem to have destinies. And it would also appear that our Creator gave us freedom to make choices and to go one way or the other. And depending on the choices that we make, we end up in one place or another. Somehow we forge a character, or we don't forge a character during our lifetime. Now, there's a great mystery to the soul. There's a great mystery. There's a mystery to it. But certain things we do know. We do know that we have a soul, and that it is us. And so you could say that we're a hand in a hand, a foot in a foot, an eye in an eye. And we have a physical body, and we have senses, you know, we have eyes and ears, and we have a brain. But beyond that, we have a consciousness. We have an awareness. We have a soul. Okay? And our soul, we become a conduit for either good or evil. We become a conduit for either good or evil. And so it would behoove us then to thoughtfully consider what kind of a conduit each of us is going to be. I'll be right back. Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, perhaps that was a bit of a long-winded and lengthy introduction to what I'm about to say. And that is that it makes a difference. See, it makes a difference how you live your life. And it makes a difference what you believe. You can't just believe anything. And you can't just live in any old way. See? Now we think we can. We think we can, especially when we're young. And we can get away with it for a while. You know, when you're young, you can do different things. You can drink too much or party too much or have different boyfriends. Or, you know, you can be promiscuous. You can get angry and storm away. And you can say bad things to people. And you can get away with a lot. You know, what do they say? Youth covers a multitude of sins. But eventually, the chickens come home to roost. And you can't get away with it forever. As a matter of fact, this might be a good launching a point to launch upon something that would be very helpful to you. You see, one of the things that... See, there is truth and there is a lie, or there is a deceit. There is truth and then there's a deceit. See, and the deceiver would like to will trick you, see, into perhaps being overconfident. See, if you think you can get away with it, you know, if you say, well, I can't, the old adage, I won't get caught, or I won't get AIDS, or you know, that sort of thing. Nobody will know. See? You think, well, I'll just go for it. And see, you might get lucky a couple of times, but eventually you're going to be, you're going to get had. Eventually you do something dumb and you've been had. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, you live in a bubble. It's like people in a car. They say they're, you know, when you're in a car, you're surrounded by a car and you have your music or your radio on and so on and so forth. You almost feel, I don't want to say invulnerable, but, you know, you take risks and then something happens. And something bad happens. And so, you know, you think, well, I can eat junk food and get away with it. Well, maybe you can get away with it for a while, but not forever. You can hang around with the wrong crowd and get away with it for a while, but not forever. You can eat bad food or take drugs or... See what I mean? You can get involved with the wrong people and get away with it, but not forever. So, sooner or later, you know, you make the fatal mistake. And, see? And a lot of times it has something to do with pride. With pride. Or with... You know, you hear about these people. I remember a long time ago, back in the 60s and early 70s, you know, they had people taking drugs like LSD and so on. And all of a sudden, some person would think he was Superman and think he could jump out of a 20-story building. And, well, you know what the result would be. So, the point that I'm getting at is that why is it that people can be so misled? You know, you hear about people, too, that ruin their whole life. they get involved in some affair at the office or something, and their whole life is ruined. You know, their wife or husband divorces them, your kids hate them, and you know, it's ruined. So how can this be? How can this be? Well, the point is that there is good and there is evil. Good wants to save you from making the fatal mistake. And evil wants to trick you into making a fatal mistake. Now you think, well, this, you know, it all sounds kind of weird and far out, but perhaps not. For example, if you look at nature, you'll see that there are animals. You know, you have spiders, and you have animals that, you have these flowers that, you know, appear to be wonderful flowers, but they're actually Venus fly traps. Then you have mushrooms that are, you know, harmless, and you have other mushrooms that look very similar, but they're deadly, poisonous. And you have, you know, certain animals that hide at the bottom of the ocean, and they look like a rock, but they're not really a rock. And then they, you know, they come out and grab a passing food source. You know what I mean? And you have animals of prey and birds of prey that stalk their victim, hide in the bushes and leap out and get it. And you see, so there's a lot of tricking and cunning and treachery and all these type of things that are even in the animal kingdom, you see. So would it come as a, does it come as a surprise that in the spiritual kingdom there might also be things that would trick you? Now let's talk about this trickery for a moment, shall we? How might this trickery trick you? Well, it certainly wouldn't be a situation where it suddenly, you know, appears in all of its ugly and horrible, you know, hideous splendor, because then it would frighten you and you'd see it was bad and you'd rush away. No, it would most likely present itself as a friend, see? It would present itself as a friend or as being harmless, or perhaps it would even hide so you wouldn't even know it was there. See what I mean? All right. Now, having said that, so are you with me? All right. So in a sense, then, life is this deadly game. You know, we all have ideas. See, if it were just that we went through life very simply doing this and doing that and working and then, you know, rationally choosing this or that, it would certainly, you know, be simple. But you know that in life, you know, there are two forces vying for the souls of human beings. And it's like in the Daffy Duck or Elmer Fudd movie or cartoon, where you would have an angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other. One side would be saying one thing and the other side would be saying something else. And which you believe and which you, you know, lean toward makes all the difference. And so it is in life, see. There are two sides vying for your soul. Now, which side will you go for? Now, if you can agree then that there may be such a thing as good and evil. Now, some people do not agree to that. They don't say, well, there's no such thing as good and evil. Well, they say that until something terrible happens to them. See, until they're betrayed or in some terrible way. Then, you know, they see that there is such a thing as bad or evil. And it operates through people, see? But now if you look at people, if you look at people that do bad things, you know, they don't usually look like bad people. They just look like regular people. If you look at them, you would never in a million years imagine that they could do such a terrible thing as whatever they did. And yet they did. Why is that? Because they came under the influence. And they didn't come under the influence of good, because if they came under the influence of good and good flowed through them, then they wouldn't do anything bad. Obviously, they were under the influence of evil. Now, how did this happen? Okay, I'm now very shortly going to reveal how it is that evil comes to influence us and gets us in a situation where we can be fooled and tricked. But first, we're going to have a little announcement. Do you suffer from stress? Reacting to stress is natural for animals, but for us humans, stress usually makes us irritable, impatient, and upset. We find ourselves being mean to those we should be kind to, or we find ourselves suppressing emotions until they make us upset on the inside. Shouldn't we be able to live with others without being upset with each other? The answer is yes. Right now you are too reactive. That's your problem. The stress of others causes you to react with hostility or repression. Were you in your center, the stress of others would call forth patience and understanding. It would call forth the courage to speak honestly. It would call forth patience to deal with the foibles of your fellow human beings without becoming upset. The solution to all your stress-based problems is to learn how to remain in your center. The meditation exercise helps you find your center of dignity so you'll be less reactive and more patient. Download a free introduction to the meditation at commonsensecounseling.org. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So let's talk about then how we can be fooled and deceived and tricked, see, into doing something that's bad. Well, let's look at how it is that we come under a bad influence. Now, how many of us, like I said, when we see people have done bad things, a lot of times we look at them and we say, well, he doesn't look like a bad person, or she doesn't look like a bad person. How could she do that, or how could he do that, or how could he say that? See? Well, so how can it be? And how is it that you, so how does it happen? Well, let's talk about a couple of different ways. Number one is anger. When you become angry, when you become very angry, then what? Then sometimes you do and say things that later on you wish you hadn't done or said. See? And if you really do something dumb in your anger, you can really make a mess out of things. You see what I mean? Some of us have. Some people have made a big mess out of things, their family life, or they've done something really awful. So there's anger. Then what? So what is anger? It's a kind of an emotion. It's an emotion that supports us in our pride, doesn't it? It supports our ego. Another way we can be tricked into doing something wrong is resentment. Resentment. Okay. First of all, when we're resentful, see, then we are susceptible to negative ideas. So if you're resentful, then someone can come along and whisper some bad things about somebody else to the point where you think, well, I might as well just go ahead and do this awful thing because they're doing it to me and blah, blah, blah. See? Or negative things about yourself can be whispered, or negative things about God. You know, when people are very resentful, then negative ideas come. You know, God doesn't like you, and he doesn't care about you, and life is unfair, and people are all against you, and you're no good, and, you know, all these kind of negative thoughts. See, there they are. Now, where do those negative thoughts come from? Are they your thoughts? See? When you have a very negative or hateful thought about another person or about yourself, you know, ask yourself, is that really your thought? Do you really want to think that thought? Do you really want to think that kind of thought? And if not, then why can't you just change that thought? If it was your thought, couldn't you just change it? See what I mean? So, amazingly enough, the human mind, the human imagination, if you will, is a no man's land, where forces, invisible forces that you can't taste, touch, or smell, can influence those forces, influence you. See what I mean? And for the most part, it's we find ourselves not being influenced by good, but influenced by negative thoughts. Okay, so anger, resentment, okay? And then how about lust or greed? You know, something that we want. Something that we want. See, we want something, let's say, too much. We make something too important, especially something that we want. And then what are the kind of thoughts that make their approach into the no man's land of your imagination? Well, it's thoughts like, go for it. This is your one chance. You know, you'll never have a chance like this again. Everybody else is doing it. Now's your chance to prove to them that you can do it. See? Blah, blah, blah. Right? Or nobody will know, and, you know, everybody's doing it. And, you know, often it's that sort of an approach, isn't it? See? Well, so what kind of thoughts are those? Are those nice thoughts? No, they're not. What are they doing? They're encouraging you to do something bad. But if you want something too much, see, then you can come under a bad influence. Okay? All right. So can you see then? So basically those are emotions. People are angry, resentful, greedy, lustful. See, when they have those kind of emotions, then they can be tempted. Ah, there's a word. Tempted to do something wrong. Okay? Harmful to themselves or to other people. Are you with me? All right. So those are. So can you see then what that emotion, if you become emotional, see? Or if you want something too much, when you get excited about a car, then you're likely to spend too much money. See? So isn't that what they're always trying to do? They're trying to get you excited about something. All right, so you see how emotions have that effect on your mind. Another effect that emotions have is that they focus the mind. They fixate. So if you're focused on something, see, if you're lost in something or paying too close of attention to something or fixated on something or someone, see, that's too important or that you want or just plain fascinated by it, when your mind is fixated and held captive, see, then you can be influenced for the wrong. So, what lessons then can you learn from what I have just said? Well, number one, it's best to be calm. It's best to not be emotional. It's best to be calm and reasonable and dispassionate. Not angry, not upset, not greedy, not lustful. See, just calm and reasonable. Are you with me? Kind of neutral. That way you can, you know, like Spock in Star Trek. Remember Spock in Star Trek? Remember how he was the one you could count on because he wasn't emotional. See? So those are very helpful. Not to be emotional. To be more calm. Less emotional. Less angry. See? Okay? And not excited. See? Being excited. Rushing for something. Rushing, rushing, rushing for something. You see people at a sports game. They go rushing, or the crowd surges forth, and sometimes people get trampled. Okay? So those would be very good if you're calm and you're not rushing and you don't make anything too important. See what I mean? Those are very, very helpful. And then there's another wonderful thing that's very helpful, and that is if you love what is right, or if you love truth, see, then to love. Remember, somehow find a way to remind yourself. You know, some people carry a picture of their child around with them, or their wife. They have a picture of their wife right on their desk, or that some people put a little picture of the car right somewhere of their child. You know, in the center of the steering wheel, or somewhere on the face of the dashboard, they have a little picture of their child, or their husband, or their wife, or someone. You see, to remind them. See? To remind them not to make things too important. Are you with me? All right. So now have you received some tips from me? So can you calm down a little bit? And can you stand back? Not get too excited. If you catch yourself getting too excited about anything, stand back. See, become neutral, become objective, calmly observe it. With a little bit of neutrality, see, defixate, defocus. See, everybody's always trying to get you to concentrate. They want you to try and go for challenges. See, challenges are a temptation too. If somebody says, hey, why don't you climb Mount Hood? Well, I don't know. What was, you're not man enough? You don't have the guts to go climb Mount Hood? Well, it's December. It's kind of dangerous. Oh, I thought you were a good climber. Didn't you say you could handle any situation? See how you can be, how you can be challenged to do something dumb. So, stand back. Don't go for the tease. Don't go for the challenge. Just observe calmly. Don't become fixated. Defixate. Defocus. See? Stand back. See? One more little hint before we're starting to run out of time. So now you know some hints. Be less emotional, calm down, defixate, defocus. There's a way of standing back, and thereby your soul, see, your soul can see more clearly, so it won't be deceived, so it won't be misled, so it won't be fooled, so it won't be tricked. Here's the example, very quickly. You're in a movie theater. Sometimes you're lost in the movie. You're fixated, focused, you're emotionally involved in the movie. It was as if you were in the movie and you forget all about yourself. Other times, you kind of sit back and then all of a sudden you look around, here's people eating popcorn and there's another person over there and you're in there and the movie's in the distance and you're not lost in the movie. Suddenly you're in the present. You're standing back. You're not involved in the movie. That's the way you want to be. More neutral, more calm, more objective, more distant. That's where you're safe. That's where your soul is safe. My name is Roland Trujillo.
Most of us react emotionally to pressure. It's not so much the pressure that hurts us, but our emotional reaction. If you would like to learn the secret of remaining calm in the face of pressure, listen to a free introductory version of the meditation exercise at www.commonsensecounseling.org. While you're there, listen to my latest lecture on relationships. It's all in the free download section. That's commonsensecounseling.org.
Today's program was very simple, a very simple program. I made some very simple points, but maybe you could understand them. Maybe you could follow them. And I do have a wonderful meditation that helps you to defocus, defixate, become calmer, stand back. Okay? You can go to commonsensecounseling.org, commonsensecounseling.org, and there's a free introductory copy there. My name is Roland Trujillo. I help people deal with stress. I help people stand back and be more calm and thereby make fewer mistakes in life. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Roland and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Common Sense Broadcast with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to the Common Sense Broadcast anytime by logging into www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free, helpful information. You can also order materials or make a donation using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, that's ROLANDTRUJILLO, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. That's Roland Trujillo, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.